أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبارك وسلم الدين، أما بعد. Last Thursday we stopped in the story of Yusuf al-Islam when his liberation is coming very close, where the person comes from the king's representative comes to the jail and says, "Oh Yusuf, the king has announced the decree, the orders to release you." And that's where we stopped last Thursday, that Yusuf al-Islam, he refused, he said, "No, go back and ask the king what happened to those women who cut off their hands." The reason he said that, because Yusuf al-Islam, if you would have said their names or something like that, or the issue of the women, it would be very hard to decipher about it. But because the whole issue became so famous that there were some women in the palace of the Aziz in the palace of the minister who cut off their hands, and because that thing was very famous and was propagating in society, so Yusuf al-Islam, being smart and being very, very cunning, he asked him that, "Look, go back and remind him what happened to those women who cut off their hands. What's their story? What's the issue?" And for really for the king, it was a very shocker. It was very stunning for him that, "Look, I asked this person to be free, released. He doesn't want to get out of the jail." I remember we said this last time, that the hadith of Rasulullah, he said, "Ma asbar ala Yusuf," he said, "my brother Yusuf," because all the prophets are brothers, he said, "my brother Yusuf has truly shown the utmost patience, sabr, more than Rasulullah," because Rasulullah was saying to Sahaba, "Had I been in place of Yusuf at that time, having lived 7 years in the jail, I would have just, you know, somebody says, come and get me, I'll just get up." But he was showing that, look at the gratitude of patience of Yusuf al-Islam. He has such temperament and, you know, resolve, commitment. So definitely the person comes back to the palace and tells the king that the Yusuf is refusing to come out of the jail, and he has sent me as a messenger to you to ask in the palace about those women who cut off their hands. So the next verse, verse number 51, where we stopped last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قلنا هاش لله ما علمنا عليه من سوء قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حس الحق أنا راودته عن نفسه وإنه لمن الصادقين. The king said to the woman, "What is your affair with Yusuf? I heard that some woman cut off their hand and blah 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 was going on. There's a big gossip going on." So he summoned them. He's the king. He summoned them in the palace and he asked the woman, "What's the affair? What's going on? Did Yusuf? I mean, the way he provoked them to speak up, he said, I heard that, you know, Yusuf tried to attack you guys, or, you know, try to do some kind of aggressive move towards you." So then, look, the true nature of the woman, remember, these were the women who planted the seed, who were doing their mischief. Now, in front of the king, in front of the sole leader of the society, they opened up. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, they said, قُلْنَا. قُلْنَا is from the file of نِسْوَة, فَعَلْنَا. Okay, قُلْنَا. قَالَ يَقُولُ قُلْنَا. فَعَلْنَا principle. So they unanimously together, all the females, they said to the king, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. You know, may Allah have mercy on him, may Allah, glorified be Allah, that Yusuf, no way. There is no tarnishing of the image of Yusuf. Yusuf al-Islam is a clean man and he is totally free from any kind of mischief or anything. In fact, they themselves said, "Ma alimna alayhi min su." We don't know anything bad about Yusuf. Who are these women? The same who cut off their hands and they tried to be aggressive towards him and try to grab him. And he at that time, you know, back then we said that he said at that time to the minister that, "Put me in the jail, it will save me from the fitna of these women, from the trust and trial of these women." And now those same women are saying that we don't know anything about Yusuf except good. In other words, we never heard anything bad about him. So they're giving him a clean slate of bill of rights, in the sense of that he is very, very clean in terms of integrity, honor, nobility and everything. And then at that moment, the wife of the minister, the finance minister, who was the perpetrator of this whole fitna, she spoke up. I mean, she couldn't stay anymore. She couldn't keep it in her heart. She blurted out. She said that, "Ana." Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, qalat imra'atul aziz. The wife of the Aziz, wife of the minister said what? Al-ana has al-haq. Now the reality, the truth, haq, reality, truth has been exposed. That's it. Hassas al-Haq. This is exactly something similar to what Fir'aun said when he was drowning. He said, you know, Al-Ana Hassas al-Haq. Now reality has sunk into me. I can see that Musa is very powerful. I can see that Musa kept warning me about some supreme God, and that God has not put me in this predicament, so I'm drowning. So he began to believe. He said, Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. I believe in the Lord of Harun Musa. But Allah said, Al-Ana waqad asaita, now you believe in it, whereas you were disobeying. So there's a similarity between the confession of Fir'aun and confession of wife. There are two confessions Allah has mentioned in the whole Quran. One confession of Pharaoh, that he confessed that I have, you know, believed, I accept that Musa is true and I am the false. He made a confession. And the other confession, meaning Allah is equal. They say that, oh, Allah is gender-based. No, Allah is equal. He showed two confessions in the whole Quran. One confession of the wife of this minister in the time of Yusuf al-Islam, again dealing with the Prophet of Allah. And one confession of a male Pharaoh the king, at the time of Prophet Musa al-Islam. So the wife says, Al-Ana Hassas al-Haq, Ana Rawatuhu. She confessed, Ana Rawatuhu. I was the one who provoked Yusuf. I was the one who was chasing around him. I was the one who was doing that fahisha, that mischief, and try to lure him and entice him. Meaning she is openly coming out in front of the king and saying, look, I am at fault. Leave Yusuf alone. Meaning all this scenario happened because of what? Because of the refusal of Yusuf al-Islam coming out of jail. That's a gutsy person, courageous person, one who has the stamina and the courage to face adverse situations and still clean himself from any kind of wrongdoings and misgivings. And that's why we said that the Mufassirin said the reason Yusuf al-Islam refused to come out of the jail when the king had sent the person for him, because he wanted to come out, but he wanted to come out with dignity, with honor, so that there isn't any scar on his personality, there isn't any tarnishing of his image. Oh, look, there's the boy going who tried to seduce the wife of the minister and some woman. No, in fact, he wanted the truth and reality to be exposed and let the people know, there goes those women, there goes the wife of that minister who tried to seduce a young boy who ended up in jail for 7 years, but now he's free. And retrospectively, we can see now, because things have happened, at the time when they're happening, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So retrospectively, we can see that the refusal of Yusuf al-Islam tend to bring an advantage for him. How? We see in the following ayah. That Allah SWT then tells us, وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that the wife of the minister, finance minister, says to the king that he is clean, he has total integrity, I was the one who seduced him, and he is from the truthful minister of the queen. ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ, and then she turns towards her husband, minister of finance is standing right next to the king. Imagine how does the husband feel when the woman, the wife, is confessing, I try to seduce a male behind your back, and the husband is like boiling blood. So she tells him, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَقُومُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. That is so that I may tell my husband that I did not want to cheat him. Meaning she is saying, she's safai bankari. I mean, she's trying to defend. She's doing what we call damage control. You know, damage is done. You're exposed. You're confessed. But now they say in crisis management, you want to do damage control. If there's any izzat, any respect left for her, she's addressing her husband next to the king sitting on the throne. And she's saying to the husband, you know, I'm sorry, and I just wanted to, I did this confession to let you know that I'm not a, like, I'm a dil se burani, dil se burini. At the spur of the moment, thing happened bad from me, you know, I'm not bad inherently, intrinsically from my heart, but at the spur of the moment, the bad thing happened, and I did that, so please forgive me, my husband, as if trying to justify the look. Don't blame on Yusuf, I was the one. And then the next verse, which is the beginning of the third juz, I mean 13th para, 13th para comes over here, 13th juz of the Quran. Allah SWT tells us, وَمَا أُبَرِّعُ نَفْسِي. Now the wife of the minister, finance minister, she's saying herself, وَمَا أُبَرِّعُ نَفْسِي. And I do not clean my soul from this mischief. I agree that I did this. I agree it's my fault. I agree it's my weakness. I agree it's my deficiency. I did it. I did something wrong. وَمَا أُبَرُّ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ. She says, now this is the type of soul or ruh that Allah SWT is defining is the medium soul. You know, the lowest level of the soul is the soul that says that, yeah, I did bad. I am deficient, I'm bad, I did something wrong. Big deal about it. That's known as نَفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ. Second degree of soul we have in Surah Qiyamah, Surah 75 in the Quran, where the nafs is known as nafsul lawwamah. Nafsul lawwamah means from lawm, which means guilty nafs. The nafs that is the moderate, the medium one, the nafs that accepts its guilt and says that I need to correct myself. I need to do something for the better, for the future. That is a healthy nafs. Why is it healthy? It has a positive attitude. It accepts its deficiency and guilt and everything and weakness, but then wants to work for it. That's why Allah calls it nafsul lawwama, lawm, meaning a self-guilty nafs. A nafs that tries to self-proclaim, I need to rectify myself. So we have nafsul ammaratun bisu, the soul that is laden with mischief and misdeeds and devilish things. Then we have nafsul lawwama, and then we have nafsul mutma'inna. Nafsul mutma'inna mentioned in Surah Fajr. Wal fajr wal ayn ash. At the end of the Surah, Allah says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. So in this Surah, in Surah Yusuf, we see here the mentioning of the lowest level, the lowest degree of the nafs. Nafsul ammaratun bisu. Ammaratun bisu meaning that it is fixed or it is laden. But the person is saying, you know, what can I do? It's in my nafs, it's in me. I did the bad thing. So what? You know that kind of attitude that people have, the redundant and aggressive or attitude, rude in the sense, stubborn in the sense, you know, yeah, I did bad. Okay, I did that sin. Big deal. What so about it? That's how all nafs are. We all are, hum sab galti ke putle. We all, hum sab khata ke putle. Hum se galtiyan hoti rehti. Koi farishta nahi. Aap bhi farishta nahi, main bhi farishta nahi. We all do mistakes. This is the nafs speaking that does not want to even acknowledge that they should do something about their nafs. That's why we don't call it the bad nafs. We say that this is the lowest level nafs. Allah has created every nafs with two things. Allah has created every soul with two things. Good and bad. Productivity and sinful evilness. Now Allah has, a person might say, oh Allah, why did you put bad in me? Why did you put sin in me? Why did you put weakness and evil in me? Why didn't you just make me whole soul, wholesome, perfect? What would be the answer? The answer would be, what's the difference between you and an angel? Angel, whole soul, fully, is completely a perfect thing. That's why we say, no human being is an angel. That phrase, that slogan comes out from the philosophy that angels don't make mistakes. Angels don't sin. Angels don't err. They don't have any error or sins or misdeeds. Because they are whole soul, fully pure esteem of goodness. There is no evil embedded in them. So if we say that, Allah, you should have made me good, you should have made me pure, it's a futile argument. Because otherwise, what's the purpose of Jannah? The only reason we're working for Jannah, so that we have the test within us. We have the negative elements and the evil in us, so that we can suppress it, bring the good in us, and then come at par with angels. That's why the angels were asked to make sujood, prostration to human beings. Because Allah was telling angels, Allah is not saying to the angels, oh, you guys are no good, make sujood to Adam. No. Allah is saying, you are angels, you have no option to err, to make mistake, to make a sin. You are whole soul good, all in all. But I have created a new creation other than you, O angels, called insan, that I have put in insan two things. Balance of power. I have put in insan the good and the evil. How good the insan suppresses evil and exposes or promotes good in their soul is the test of this insan. And that is what Allah is mentioning here. That the wife of the finance minister, she said, yeah, I did this mistake. Yes, I tried to seduce Yusuf. But all souls are like that. All souls are guilty laden. All souls are fixed with sin. She is basically producing the excuse, I have no control of my soul. At that time, the evil in my soul came out. You know how sometimes people give the excuse when they do something wrong and say, oh, mera andar shaitan jaag gaya. You know, the shaitan inside me was awakened, aroused. So I did that mistake. Yeah, I killed that person. Yeah, I divorced that person. Yeah, I did that thing. Or I slapped that person. I kicked that person. Because at that spur of the moment, the shaitan within me was awakened. Now the shaitan is asleep. So why does it sleep at that time also? These are all baseless arguments. Because Allah has given every human being the ability to control their nafs. This is what we call self-control. And that is the whole philosophy of Surah Yusuf. Allah's mother is teaching us how to self-control your nafs. At times of anger, at times of sin, at times of temptation, at times of evil and mischief. And so here the wife of Aziz, she says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. And I don't really feel myself. I mean, she's saying, I'm not excusing myself from the sin. Yeah, I did it. Yes, it's my mistake. I did it. But I'm not saying that I am an angel. I'm saying that I am a bad person because there is bad in me. And the bad at that time took over me and I did it. إِنَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّا رَبِّي غَفُورَ رَحِيمٌ Except those souls, she's saying that those people don't make mistakes is because Allah has special rahmah and mercy on them and saves them. And if she's giving an excuse that has no basis for it. Yes, Allah gives mercy, showers mercy, bestows mercy upon people. But just because some people don't make sins or mistakes as much as some others do, it's not because Allah has some special favor upon them and just showers mercy. It's because of their goodness, their ibadah. The more practicing a person is, the more ibadah a person has, the more beauty a person has in terms of taqwa and iman, Allah will shower mercy. See, every time we pray, it brings mercy from Allah. Every time we try to perfect our character, it brings mercy from Allah. Every time we try to be good to our loved ones, parents, spouses, relatives, Allah brings mercy to us. Every time we fast, whether it's Ramadan or after Ramadan, any nafil fast we do, it brings mercy from Allah. So basically, there is a mechanism, there is a vehicle of tools to administer in order to get the mercy of Allah and diminish and minimize our faults and mistakes. That is the principle Allah SWT is teaching us. You want to minimize your mistake, you want to minimize your sins and your errors and everything, you have to increase something, you have to maximize something. What happens today is the opposite. Today people minimize worship. Today people minimize ibadah, worship. They don't pray or seldom pray. They minimize their good character, they minimize their manners and everything. Of course, on the other end, something is going to maximize. If you're minimizing iman, if you're minimizing salat, if you're minimizing taqwa, definitely something is going to be increasing, maximum. This is the law of nature. There is something we learn in science, in mathematics, directly proportional, inversely proportional. If something is directly proportional to something, it increases when the other increases. If something is inversely proportional to something, one increases while the other decreases. And our life, our soul in this world is inversely proportional. If our iman increases, our sins, our bad deeds increases. If our iman increases, our sins, our bad deeds will decrease. There is no way a person who prays Fajr every day in the morning would commit mistakes and sins on a regular basis. That is the philosophy of Allah's teaching. But look, this is the first level, first daraja, first stage of the nafs. Nafsul ammaratun bisu. You pull this nafs up to the second grade level, which is nafsul lawwam, a guilty nafs, nafs that accepts its mistakes and wants to rectify, correct themselves, seeks guidance, solicits advice and ways to better themselves. That's second degree nafs, nafs lawwam. And then the third or highest degree, the best, is nafsul mutma'inna, itminan, meaning the nafs that is now peaceful. Peaceful in this dunya, why? Because of their ibadah, because of their akhlaq, because of their good activities. Then Allah tells us, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أَتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي After hearing all this scenario between the woman who cut off their hands and the wife of the minister, she confessed, she made her confession publicly in front of everybody, yes, I was the sinner, I was the mistaken, I induced or seduced Yusuf and I tried to provoke him. So now the king says, okay, everything is clear, crystal clear to you. Go fetch me Yusuf from the jail, bring him here. Astakhlisu nafsi, I will use him in my cabinet, in my, you know, in my office. He wants to give him a job. This ayah tells us why Yusuf al-Islam refused to go from the jail the first time the king sent him. Because he knows, Yusuf al-Islam is smart, he's sharp. He knows the king has sent my release orders. So if I go to the king as a clean slate of bill of integrity and honor, I'll get a job right there and then. Because who wouldn't want to give you a job if you have a shining, glittery character certificate? But if you are released from the jail and you have a tarnished image, there's a scar, or there's a kala dabba, a black spot on you, that oh, this person maybe had some problem because some woman cut off their hands while they were looking at him, or some woman was seduced by him, things like that. If that image was there, he released from the jail, he might not have cashed in on this job. But had he went through all this, so that now the king is fully committed, king is fully convinced, Yusuf is totally innocent. He had nothing to do with this whole fiasco of the women in the city. So that means Yusuf is a very credible, honest, trustworthy person. I need to get him a job. And that's what the king is saying. Go fetch me Yusuf and I want to use him in my workforce, in my employee. وقال الملك ائتوني استخلص نفسي فلما كلمه قال انك اليوم لدينا مكين امين. When he came back from the jail, you imagine, I mean visualize graphic image as if you're seeing a movie. Yusuf Aslam is coming from the jail with two bodyguards with full accolades and reward. He enters the hall in the palace and everybody's like looking up to him. Everybody is like so delighted. And the king says, I bestow upon you as my amin, as my treasurer, as my accountant, as my someone who I can trust. Look, nobody trusts anybody with their finances, with their money, their cash and gold, unless they have full siqa, like we say, close the door please, unless we have full trust in them. So the king is saying here, I have my whole heart and soul in you, Yusuf. Ask me whatever you want. You are my amin. You are my trustworthy, credible person. You ask me a job and you have it. So now in the next ayah, Allah SWT tells us, what did Yusuf ask him for? قَالَ اِجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. He said, okay, I don't want any big thing. Meaning the king was ready to give him his own position. Want to make him a king. This shows you the humility, humbleness, tawadu, you know, ajzi, inkisari of Yusuf al-Islam. If he won, he had a golden opportunity. He could capitalize on this offer. Hey, king, you giving me a throne? Fine, get off, let me sit over there. But no, he's saying, king, you stay where you are. You look good in your seat. Make me the in charge of the stores. The stores where all the food used to be coming and stored. Why? Because he grew up in the house of that finance minister. And underneath the finance minister was the department or in charge ship of taking care of the stores. And the stores in those days had to had a lot of food and things, storage material. Remember, he had seen a dream already, the king, that there are seven fat cows, seven thinny cows, and all that. And Yusuf had already told him that, you know, 7 years of drought are going to come, famine, and 7 good years are going to come. So Yusuf al-Islam, the scholars of Tafsir, they say over here, why did Yusuf al-Islam purposely ask for this specific position? Two reasons. Number one, he already knew from the dream interpretation that he did that bad days are about to come. First, the good days will come and then bad days will come. So you need someone who's credible enough, who can manage the food department, everything so well that there's no food shortage, A. B, because he grew up, because Yusuf al-Islam, when he came from the captivity and all that, and he came and he was living in the palace where the wife of the minister tried to seduce him, he grew up watching the finance minister, how he controlled everything, and he saw that there was a lot of lavishness and luxury, there was a lot of israf, wastefulness, wastemongers, and there was mismanagement, disorganization, disorientation. So Yusuf al-Islam wants to set a precedence, he wants to set a mithal, example, that look, when you manage something, when you have utmost management, it is from your iman, from taqwa, from Allah. Because whoever is a manager, supervisor, whoever has a management position, their biggest responsibility is not to their boss or to the CEO of the company or the owner of the company. Their biggest responsibility is to Allah. Allah will ask them, you were in charge of something, you were sitting on this seat that was very crucial, you mismanaged funds, you mismanaged products, you mismanaged, you know, commodities, things. I mean, you were mismanaged. You have an answer for that. Before they even answer to the worldly things, they have to answer to the King of Kings, Allah, on the Day of Judgment. So Yusuf al-Islam, being a prophet, he wants to set a precedence. He wants to teach the people of Egypt. He wants to teach the king and the palace and the finance minister, look, when you are a manager, when you are in management, as if he's giving an MBA class. But look, when you are a manager, this is how you manage. So that you minimize your waste, you minimize your lavishness and luxury, I mean you waste things that would be from company perspective wasted, and you maximize your productivity efficiency from the limited resources you have. This is what he's trying, management 101 class he's teaching. You know, maximize your output through the limited resources that you have, increase your efficiency, and minimize your waste, minimize your red ink, your things and that. So he makes them, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لَيُوسُفِ الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأْ مِنَّا هَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. Allah SWT then tells in the next ayah, this is how we made Yusuf, made sure that he becomes in charge of the stores. And let all, as we see in the tafsir, in the story, that once the finance minister died, he got the authority of being the finance minister also. And as things went past, the king died also, king put in his wasiyah, in his inheritance, he put that if I die, let Yusuf, who is in charge of stores, be. Meaning he had so much credibility because of this one incident that he left a lifelong inheritance thing. So as Yusuf al-Islam took a, you know, entry-level job of being just a store manager, From there, Allah, you know, elevated him through the ranks and file all the way up to making him the king under the throne, until he meets his brothers on the seat of the throne of the king who had passed away. Allah tells us, نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا نُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah SWT here is giving a compliment about Yusuf al-Islam and about all those people who want to follow the footsteps of Yusuf al-Islam. Allah is saying, نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We afflict we give our rahmah, we bestow our rahmah upon whoever we want. But remember, we don't choose anyone out from the street for rahmah. There is a condition. وَلَا نُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Rahmah of Allah comes more to those people who are categorized or classified as muhsinin. Muhsin, good doers. They propagate good, they perform good, they try to initiate good, and they try to, you know, promote it good. Those are the people that Allah is saying, I choose to give more and more mercy. It's not that those who are bad, Allah's mercy doesn't come. Of course, there are people who don't pray. Look at Allah's mercy, He didn't kill them. There are people who don't remember Allah at all. He didn't kill them. He gives them food. They have a paycheck. They have a business. They have risk. They're not starving to death. They're not running hand to mouth. So Allah SWT is saying, my rahmah comes to all, but specifically to the muhsinin. A general person who doesn't worship Allah or worships Allah just jokingly and mimically, that person will get a superficial rahmah, just a basic, you know, entry-level rahmah. But the rahmah of Allah that it really desires of, it comes to those who are muhsinin. And Allah is saying, وَلَا نُضِيعُ. And we don't waste. نُضِيعُ دَعَى comes from the word of wasting. Allah is saying, I don't waste the reward, the recompense, return of the good doers. What does that mean? The scholars said here in Tafsir that if you do something good, you don't see a direct result of it, don't be expectation of it. Because sometimes results come later on. They are far-fetched. Your job should be as a muhsin, do good, move on forward. Don't turn back and look for expectations. Don't turn back and look for dividends, for worldly gains. Because if you're looking for worldly gains, you're in the wrong boat, you're in the wrong mission. Those who love Allah, they don't look for worldly gains. They don't look for worldly expectations. They do it for the sake of Allah and they move on. And that is why Allah is saying, وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The one who is truly muhsin, in other words, one who is mukhlis. The one who is truly muhsin and mukhlis, and pious and sincere in their good doing, Allah is saying, I may delay their return, but I don't waste it. Their effort, their sweat and blood is never wasted. Temporarily, they might see, oh, I did that good thing. Look at that. This is exactly to counter the statement of us in Urdu, Neki karo darya mein daal. No. This is contradicting. This is against. We haven't prayed Maghrib yet. We'll pray together. Don't worry. We started early today because we changed the pattern of the lecture. So, Allah SWT is saying that don't think of the concept Neki kare darya mein daal. Oh, I did a good thing, I put it to waste in the water, in the river. No. That is contradicting the Aqidah of Islam. Aqidah of Islam, Allah is saying, you do good, any good you do, it's never wasted, it's never down the drain. It will come back to you, give you its fruit and dividend somewhere down the road, because Allah is saying, I don't waste it. But if you are looking for worldly gains, yes, then you are disheartened, you are shocked. Because if you are looking for worldly gains, worldly return, at that moment, at the spur of the moment that you did the good thing, you didn't get anything, so you, Shaitan puts the whisper, oh, maine neki kari ho, maine darya mein daal. I mean, I did a good thing, I didn't get anything out of it, what did I do? You know, like that good Samaritan thing that they have, oh, if you're a good Samaritan, neki ulta gale mein phas gayi. No. If we do with the right niyyah, ikhlas, and taqwa, and iman, it will never come in our throat, it will never come back to haunt us, rather, it will come back to pay us off. That's what Allah is saying, وَلَا نُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we never waste the reward of good doers. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ. And then Allah says, look, if you were looking for the good of this dunya, you're wrong. Because the أَجْرَ of akhirah خَيْرٍ is much better. What will you get in the world? A few million dollars, a few million things, a few smiles, a few laughs from people, a few hugs. But Allah is saying the best reward of akhirah, which is endless and which is utmost. لِلَّذِينَ أَمِنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. This is for those who believe and they have taqwa. It's time for Maghrib. What we'll do is we'll pray Maghrib, and after Sunnah we'll wrap it up by 9 o'clock and then we will leave, inshallah. We'll give Azan now, we'll pause here and continue a few more. Next Thursday, remember to come by 7:30. The time has changed because Maghrib is now 8:15, 8:20 is pretty late. So if we start at Maghrib, it's going to be 10 o'clock, and I got to go almost an hour's drive, so I get home by 11. So that's why we have changed the time. From now on until September, until Ramadan time, from now on, every Thursday is going to be from 7:30 sharp to Maghrib, because Maghrib is going to go all the way to 8:30, and then slowly, slowly Maghrib is going to come back again from 8:30 to 7:30. But in September, Maghrib will be 7:30. So that's why June, July, August, up to September, because the 23rd of September is Ramadan starting. So we'll have only two Thursdays of September, and then Ramadan break will be there. So therefore, up to Ramadan, from now on, the schedule is 7:30 sharp on the dot till Maghrib. We have 45 minutes. We pray Maghrib and then Sunnah, and then we leave so that you can go home early and I can get home back, inshallah. So remember next Thursday to inshallah come 7:30. But next Thursday I will not be here, but the Mu'taz is coming. Like we said before, the last Thursday of the month, he has agreed to come, so he will be having his schedule every last Thursday of the month. And I will have my